All right, like I said earlier, I love this Christmas season. I'm the guy who loves the Christmas music. So I love watching Christmas Vacation for the millionth time. I want my house to look like Clark Griswold's house every year. My wife watches Elf a bazillion times a year. I love these traditions. And one of our traditions here at Riverview is we tell the Christmas story on Christmas Eve. And sometimes we have live narrators, and sometimes we do it via video. And this year, it's been a busy month. So we decided to just kind of fly by the seat of our pants and during the service select four narrators to live narrate the Christmas Eve service for us. So I need four volunteers. Now, before you volunteer, let me just give you a couple of caveats. You need to be able to read. You need to be able to just act, you know, the part. Let me just raise the bar for you, just to tell you the kind of caliber of person we're looking for. Is Pastor Steve Summerlot here in this service? My understanding is Steve, are you in the service? Yeah, Steve, would you come? This will be one of our narrators. Would you guys clap for Steve as he comes up? For those of you who know Steve, if you think you can perform at this caliber, then go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to need three more narrators. Okay, there's one right there. Come on up. I need two more narrators over here. Oh, I got somebody in a red shirt way back there. Yeah, that's you. You look behind you. Come up. All right, so right here. Go, come on up. All right, so hello. Good to see you. All right. All right. He just called me a dork. All right, so what we're going to do is we'll have each one of you introduce yourselves, and then we're going to assign some parts here. Go ahead and tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Sequoia.
Hi, I'm Landon.
Hi, I'm Steve.
And I'm Bill.
All right, so we're going to need one narrator who's going to do a lot of reading. Anyone want to, everyone's saying Steve, no? Okay, so good. Bill. Bill is going to be our narrator. So, Bill, if you could head up here, this is going to be your spot. What's going to happen is on that wall behind up there is going to be the narration. Anytime it says narrator, you have to read that from there, okay? The three of you, if you guys could come with me. All right, so, all right, you're here, right here. And you're going to be down here, okay? And you're here, sir. Now, you're in character A. See, it says A. You're B. You're C. Anytime those letters come up on that screen, you're reading. So if you go ahead and just, you need your face all the way through, otherwise we can't see you. There you go. If you could just, and you may need to stand up on your stool. Here. Okay, here, let's get it closer here. Jump up. Okay, wait, let's get you close. Just don't kick it over. Can you get your face up there? Close enough. All right. I mean, I could put him there, but this is a lot more fun for me.
Absolutely.
All right. So, would you please give a round of applause to our narrators for the Christmas story? All right.
In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said,
"That's you, Landon.
Grace to you, favored one, the Lord is with you."
But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive
Reign
over his house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
"How will this be, since I am a virgin?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you.
And Mary said,
Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
And the angel departed from her. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the town of David, where he is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while there they were, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
Ah.
Oh, come on. Ah. All right, wait. All right, so we've been through this as a church for months. For those of you who have been here at the church, the angels are what of the universe? The Navy SEALs of the universe. You're terrified. All right, let's start that over. Go ahead and back it up. All right, go ahead and try that again. Right. Terrified. Okay, thank you.
There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
Ah!
And the angel said to them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with an angel.
Yeah, I hate to interrupt again.
Okay.
We only have one angel, and it says multitude of angels. So you're the multitude of angels. When your line hits the screen, you all have to say what's on the screen. Go ahead and start again.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those He is pleased.
Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. Nice. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told to them. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel to Mary before he was conceived in the womb. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod and the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying,
For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them,
Where is the Christ to be born?
And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
Diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.
After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
All right. Thank you, guys. Come on up. All right. Thank you guys for being good sports. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Landon, you get Steve's. And Steve, since you didn't get a gift, we have a knitting group at the church. They made you a present. And so if you would just take your present out in front of everyone, this is generosity from our knitting group. No, right here. Just everyone would like to see your gift. It's a sweater. And it has a buffalo on it. So there you go, Steve. Merry Christmas. There's a card in the bottom, I think. All right. All right, so the reason we wanted to do that today is because Christmas has become so familiar to us. Well, the story's familiar of Mary and Joseph and 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus and shepherds and angels and wise men. It's become almost too familiar. And not only that, the Christmas traditions and the Christmas icons have become almost too familiar. And so what we want to do tonight is just breathe some life into three old Christmas traditions and maybe give them a little bit of a new spin for us so we can remember what they truly, truly mean. In fact, we're calling this service, Oh Christmas. Christmas 3, but because this is so familiar to us, so many people have asked me, why are we doing a service called Oh Christmas Tree? Because we don't bother reading when we think that we already know what it's going to mean. And so today we're going to just talk about three Christmas traditions, starting with presents. How many of you guys have presents in your house? All right. And how many of you in your presents, they're wrapped in canvas or burlap bags? See, really? That's awesome. See, down through history, most gifts were given in a burlap or a canvas bag. And then how many of you, all of your presents are wrapped in white paper? Well, up until just about 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, almost all Christmas presents were in white paper until a guy named Joyce came along. Joyce, go ahead and start naming your boys Joyce and see how well that works for you. But Joyce, Clyde, Hall started this little store called Hallmark, and he sold white Christmas paper, and he ran out one season, and so he went in the back, and all he had was multicolored paper he'd stick inside of envelopes, and he thought, well, no one's going to buy that, and so he put it out anyway, and it sold out, and the next year he began to mass produce it, and now 100 years later, if you wrap a present in multicolored paper, it was invented by the Hallmark guy, so you're actually celebrating a Hallmark holiday. Now, the thing about this is, when we have these gifts, we know that they're supposed to be beautifully wrapped. In fact, psychologists tell us that presents that are beautifully wrapped actually make the receiver happier with the gift. So if you, like me, like to throw a present in a brown paper bag and write Merry Christmas on it, you're in trouble because people are not going to be happy with those gifts. Now, I want you to think about this when we reread part of the Christmas story. And going into the house, they, the wise men, saw the child, that's Jesus, with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you know, when we think about these gifts, we often have the same picture in our mind, that they pull out these ornate packages, these ornate boxes, because we know this is what you do with presents. You make them generous. You give them to that person, even though that's not what the story says. We think of it that way because we know it's supposed to be beautiful to be a generous gift that someone would receive. Well, when you see a Christmas present wrapped beautifully, I want you to remember that we worship a God that gives generously. That Jesus, coming as a baby, didn't come just to be a baby. He came to be a baby that would one day become a man who would one day die on the cross for our sins, be buried, raised again, conquering sin, Satan, and death to become the ultimate gift to us. We become generous because God is generous. In fact, later in the service, we're going to collect an offering, and we always collect an offering at Christmas Eve, and we use it for something. And this year, we're starting a new location in Reotown, and we're buying this new location. We're working really hard to make it beautiful for the city. I can't show you pictures yet. We're still working on this. I wish I could, but we want this to be beautiful for the city. We want to be generous to the city. We're not just building a church building. We're actually putting in a banquet center in there for the city because we want to reflect a generous God. How many of you guys have a wreath on the door of your house? Anyone? That idea went all the way back to Europe, where people didn't have numbers on their houses. Instead, they had wreaths. And what people would do is they would take all the flowers and the plants from their yard, and they would make a wreath out of them and put it on the door. And when they told their friends how to find their house, they would tell them what their wreath looked like. And so when you found somebody's house, and they still do this in Europe and some places today, you would find the house by finding the street and then finding the wreath. And when you got there, you know you made it. It was a symbol of hospitality. Don't you think about that when we reread part of the Christmas story again, where it says, "And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." There's this huge gathering of people in the city. There was no place for them to stay. And often we think of the innkeeper in the story, but there's no innkeeper in the story. What we know is the inn is full. But we know that someone gave them a barn to stay in. Someone was hospitable. I've been thinking a lot about that this week as this ice storm has rolled through. And I've heard stories and stories and stories of Riverview people who have been taking people in from their blocks and from their works and from their family. And it's been really cool to see us being hospitable because that's what this tradition is all about. And then there's the Christmas tree. How many of you have a Christmas tree in your house? I suspected so. Now, here's the thing. A Christmas tree is an interesting tradition because it dates back thousands of years, and mostly down through history, it's not been a Christian thing. In fact, it's been a pagan thing. It's been a way of worshiping false gods. What people would do is they'd go outside in the middle of winter. Everything's white and nice, except for that tree. That's alive. We should cut that down, kill it, and bring it in our house. And so they would do this as a way of appeasing the pagan gods and remembering that life conquers death, so they drag this tree into their house. What does that have to do with Christianity? What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, again, let's look at the story. In Matthew 1, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. What that means is that Jesus is with us. He was born in a specific time and place in history, and in that specific time and place, there were specific traditions, and he redeemed the time, the place, and the traditions. We as Christians should not be afraid of culture. We should step into this time and place with traditions and this history that we're in and redeem those for Jesus. And so, even Reotown, when we go in there, one of my favorite parts of our new building is the south side, which looks like this. And people have said, "Well, are you going to cover up all that graffiti?" We're like, "We're not going to cover up the graffiti. We're keeping the graffiti. This is the culture we're going into. We might enhance the graffiti, add more graffiti. Just this is a part of our culture. We as Christians, we engage culture." And so this Christmas season and in the future in Christmas, when you drag a pagan tree into your house, and by the way, the guy who invented the artificial tree, he was actually a guy who made toilet bowl cleaners. And one day he's looking at the toilet bowl cleaner. He's like, "That looks a lot like a tree." So he put in some green dye, invented the first artificial Christmas tree. So now you know. If you have an artificial Christmas tree, you know where it belongs. So when you drag a pagan tree into your house, do it knowing that Jesus engaged culture and so we engage culture. When you place a wreath on your door, remember to be hospitable so that by being a hospitable person, you can tell people about Jesus. And when you give gifts, remember that we give generously because God is a generous God. Now, honestly, none of those three things have anything to do with Christmas. In fact, nothing in the Bible tells you to worship Christmas or to celebrate Christmas or to gather with these Christmas Eve services. But this is what we know out of the book of Colossians. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Christmas trees don't have anything to do with Jesus. Presents don't have anything to do with Jesus. Wreaths have nothing to do with Jesus, but everything has to do with Jesus if we're a follower of Jesus. And so we make everything in our life about him. Tonight, tomorrow, next week, the week after. In fact, a lot of times, the Christmas season ramps up all of this hospitality and generosity and engagement culture all the way until Christmas Eve, and then, you know, we get all materialistic about ourselves and we forget about everybody else. But what we're doing this year at Riverview is we're going to flip that. We're making this the beginning of our generous season. Later in the service, we'll collect our offering. That's going to go to help launch our Lansing, our Rio Town venue. But starting today and going through the rest of January, we're going to be loving Lansing because we've been told by the Lansing City Rescue Mission and the Lansing Area AIDS Network that this is one of their hardest seasons because people are generous until today. And then the cold weather comes. And people need coats and people need socks. And so what we're going to do is we're going to gather coats and we're going to gather socks. And we're going to do that between now and the end of January. Some big bins are going in the lobby. They say Love Lansing on them. Bring coats, bring socks. You can bring used coats. Don't bring used socks. Buy socks. But if you get coats for Christmas and your other coat's in good shape, bring that in or bring a new coat so that we can be hospitable to our city. We can be generous to our city. And we can engage the culture of our city in Jesus' name. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing a little bit more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Jesus. And we just pray that you would help us to love Lansing in your name. We just pray that everything we do today, tomorrow, and next week would all be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just pray that this season would be about him, and that you would take care of all those, especially in our church family right now, and those in our community who are struggling because of this ice storm. And we just pray that we would be generous people, hospitable people, engaging with their culture, taking care of people in this time of their need. We thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.